Moses and the Law, 35 Centuries Ahead. Selected text, The Awe of the Lord is the Beginning of Wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10, from the RVIC 2016. Moses' birth and upbringing in the royal family of Egypt are recorded in Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10. Paul, educated by Gamaliel, says that Moses was opposed by Jannes and Jambres. Egyptian suzerainry Kian reigned circa 39 years, and Mabri Shishi 3 years. Greek Yannis and Jambres, Assis. Two pharaohs of the 15th dynasty of Egypt, Hyksos. Jewish writings say the alphabet was invented by Moses. Some say it may have been even earlier, with evidence as early as the 18th year of the great pharaoh Amenemes III, probably Joseph's pharaoh, who closed the basalt quarries from his 4th to 18th year. Pharaoh invited Jacob and his family to come to Egypt and have the best of the land, Genesis 45, verses 10 through 18, near to the capital. While formerly it was thought that the capital, Avaris, was at Tanis in the northern delta and some distance from the best of the land, it is now thought to have been at Tel Eldaba, which is Hatwaret equals Avaris, just east of the Bubastite branch of the Nile, where the best soil is. It is from there that Moses led the sons of Israel out of Egypt. From Goshen, it would be only 2 days' journey to the edge of the wilderness, desert, per Exodus 12:37 and 13:20. Mount Sinai has variously been identified as Jebel Musa, south-central Sinai, Har Karkom, southern Negev, Jebel al-Laws, northwest Saudi Arabia, and 11 other less likely sites. Some object that Jebel Musa is not volcanic, but there is said to be lava on the south and west, and no ancient artifacts are found there, though Deuteronomy 29:5 may suggest that no discards were left behind. Har Karkom is plausible, except the artifacts there are only from BC 2000 and earlier. Jebel al-Laws requires a Red Sea crossing through the Gulf of Aqaba, too far to reach in 3 days' journey, and the area was not thriving until the 12th century. For now, we may allow it to be uncertain. Earlier Codes of Laws. The earliest yet known Code of Laws was issued by Urukagina, king of Lagash, in modern Iraq, in perhaps the 23rd century BC, in response to the greed and corruption of a predecessor. His intent was that a man of power must not commit an injustice against them, the orphan and widow. How successful Urukagina was is another question. He was conquered after an 8-year reign, and Lagash was destroyed. Ur-Nammu, king of Sumer and Akkad, circa 2054 through 2036, issued a better-known code of laws so that the orphan did not fall a prey to the wealthy, the widow did not fall a prey to the powerful, and the man of one shekel did not fall a prey to the man of one mina, which is 60 shekels. Typical of his laws, if a man has cut off with a geshpu instrument the nose of another man, he shall pay 2/3 of a mina of silver. A century later, a code of the city of Eshnunna, about 10 miles east of modern Baghdad in Akkad, said, if an ox is known to gore habitually, and the ward authorities have had the fact made known to its owner, but he does not have his ox dehorned, it gores a man and causes his death, then the owner of the ox shall pay 2/3 of a mina of silver. Half a century later, Lifet Ishtar issued a code of laws which freed the sons and daughters of Sumer and Akkad from slavery, which had been imposed on them. The still better known Code of Hammurabi, king of Babylon, circa 1728 through 1686, came 2 centuries later. Finnegan mentions, laws covering assault and battery were based largely on the principle of equal retaliation, but with some complications because of the division of society into 3 classes. Nobles, commoners, and slaves. For example, if a senor has knocked out a tooth of a senor of his own rank, they shall knock out his tooth. If he has knocked out a commoner's tooth, he shall pay 1/3 mina of silver. One very extreme application of the Lex Talionis was provided for, if, under certain circumstances, a man caused the death of another man's daughter, his own daughter was to be put to death. The law God gave to Moses. The law Jehovah God gave to Moses has many things similar to the Sumerian Babylonian law codes, and many things unlike those law codes. One major difference is that Moses' law is no respecter of persons. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Exodus 12:49, repeated in Leviticus 24:22 and Numbers 15, verses 16 and 29. Again, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to turn aside after a multitude to wrest justice. Neither shalt thou favor a poor man in his cause. Exodus 23, verses 2 and 3 from the ASV. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Leviticus 19:15. Thou shalt not wrest justice, thou shalt not respect persons, neither shalt thou take a bribe, for a bribe doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Deuteronomy 16:19 from the ASV. It was eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Exodus 21, verses 23 and 24, and Leviticus 24:19 and 20 from the ASV. Not two eyes for an eye, or four front teeth for a tooth, whether wealthy, common people, or strangers. Moses' law is not a respecter of persons. Laws for good health. God commanded to Abraham, "He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every male throughout your generations." Genesis 17:12 and Leviticus 12:3. Why the eighth day of life? Vitamin K and prothrombin, clotting factor 2, are necessary for normal blood clotting, and both are synthesized by intestinal bacteria. If vitamin K is not manufactured in the baby's intestinal tract until the 5th to the 7th day of life, it is clear that the first safe day to perform circumcision would be the 8th day. On a baby's day 3, available prothrombin is about a third of normal, putting any surgery at risk of serious hemorrhaging. But on the 8th day, the prothrombin concentration temporarily rises to 110% of normal. Thus, one observes that from a consideration of vitamin K and prothrombin, the perfect day to perform a circumcision is the 8th day. What could Moses or Abraham have known about vitamin K and prothrombin 4,000 years ago? But the Creator already knew. The washing of hands. Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis, a Jewish-Hungarian physician, became assistant to the professor of the maternity clinic at Vienna General Hospital in 1846. In 1847, he began requiring doctors and nurses to wash their hands thoroughly after touching corpses. When the death rate dropped, he also required washing of hands between patients. The death rate suddenly dropped from 10 to 20% to 1 to 2%. But hospital personnel were irate at the inconvenience. His 2-year contract was not renewed and he was alienated in Vienna. So he moved back to Budapest, where his experience was repeated at St. Rochus Hospital in Pest. In 1861, he wrote about his success in etiology, concept, and prophylaxis of childbed fever. But it was not well written, and it was disdained in Europe. People thought he was crazy, so had him committed to an insane asylum in 1865, where he was beaten and died. Over the next 2 decades, Louis Pasteur developed germ theory. Joseph Lister pioneered antiseptic surgery in 1865. Albert Billroth discovered streptococci and staphylococci in 1874, and Robert Koch developed a staining technique for identifying bacteria in 1877. Only then did Semmelweis's practice begin to spread throughout hospitals worldwide. People thus discovered the instructions from 35 centuries earlier. When an antiseptic was prepared from a red heifer, cedar wood, and hyssop, it may have been used when the preparer shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. The same shall purify himself therewith on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day he shall be clean. When a man dieth in a tent, everyone that cometh into the tent, and everyone that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever in the open field toucheth one that is slain with a sword, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly. Numbers 19 from the ASV. The law addressed other issues. Quarantine was prescribed for the leper, Leviticus 13:46. Israel was forbidden to eat either blood or animal fat, Leviticus 3:17. Diseases are carried in the blood, and fat is modernly associated with heart disease. Israel was commanded to observe a Sabbath, rest, on the seventh day of every week, Deuteronomy 5:14 and 15. People find that when they try never to take a rest, they become progressively less efficient. James F. Jekyll, epidemiologist at Yale, observes, "The priest served as the health officer, to oversee that the community was holy and clean, to diagnose and treat problems, and to pronounce healed persons clean." 4 centuries have increased the life expectancy from 40 to 80 years old, primarily due to improvements in public health practices, rather than the advent of modern medicine. Jekyll says, "The sanitary revolution came about from the personal convictions of many people, which were partly biblical in origin, that it was better for society's health and morals to live in cleanliness rather than in filth." Jekyll adds a quote from the world-renowned bacteriologist from the Rockefeller Foundation, René Dubos. "Clearly, modern medical science has helped to clean up the mess created by urban and industrial civilization. However, by the time laboratory medicine came effectively into the picture, the job had been carried far toward completion by the humanitarians and social reformers of the 19th century. Their romantic doctrine that nature is holy and healthful was scientifically naive, but proved effective against the most important health problems of their age. When the tide is receding from the beach, it is easy to have the illusion that one can empty the ocean by removing water with a pail. The tide of infections and nutritional diseases was rapidly receding when the laboratory scientists moved into action at the end of the past century." Jekyll continues with a summary, see at the end of this article, and comments, "The biblical insight that health derives from a holy and clean way of life and not from purchasing the services of healers is a perspective that must be recovered by our society if we are to achieve the measure of health we desire at a price we can afford. But who can influence human behavior? Suffice it to say that how we behave derives from what we ultimately believe is of greatest value, and it is here, in determining the priorities of individuals, families, and communities, that religion has its most crucial impact on health. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Jehovah thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians. For I am Jehovah that healeth thee." Exodus 15:26. Jekyll's summary, representative selections from the Old Testament Sanitary Code. Key texts, Leviticus 19:2 and 10:10. 1. Personal cleanliness. Hand washing, especially before meals, Mark 7, verses 1 through 3. Whole body after contamination, Leviticus 15:5. Wash clothes after contamination, Leviticus 11:28 and 15:5. 2. Pure water supply. Avoid water contaminated by dead animal, Leviticus 11:32 through 36. 3. Sewage disposal. Bury it outside the camp, Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 14. 4. Bury dead soon, before nightfall, Deuteronomy 21:23 and Acts 5:6. 5. Pure foods. Fruits and vegetables not prohibited. Meats, Leviticus 11:2 through 8 and 29 through 31. Fish, Leviticus 11:9 through 12. Don't eat dead animals, Deuteronomy 14:21. Don't eat old food, Leviticus 19:5 through 8. 6. Isolation. if one touches the dead, Leviticus 5:2 and 22:4. If one touches unclean discharges, Leviticus 5:3. For those who have a discharge, Leviticus 15:1 through 13. For those who have skin diseases, Leviticus 13. Of a woman following childbirth, Leviticus 12:1 through 8. Prevents epidemic childbed fever. Terminal disinfection, Leviticus 15:1 through 13 and 14:34 to 48. 7. Control of venereal disease, morality, Exodus 20:14, Leviticus 18:20. 8. Priest is the health officer, Leviticus 13 and 14.